What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Debra Royale YouTube channel. Today, we are doing a franchise fix episode, this time with the Los Angeles Chargers. They have a new head coach. Our buddy Kevin, probably mixed feelings about that one. Probably pretty sad, actually, as he's a Michigan fan. But we're going to get into the Harbaugh hire. We're going to get into the state of the team. And then we're going to fix the franchise with free agency. That one's going to be really tough because we'll get into it, but the cap space is not looking great right now. And then we're obviously going to round it out with a mock draft as well. Stick with us through the intro. We'll get to it on the other side. All right, we are back. Last week we did the Chicago Bears. If you didn't check that franchise fix out, make sure you go over and do that. The Los Angeles Chargers, interesting team. Before we get into any of the normal stuff, Randy, what did you think about the Harbaugh hire? Do you think this is a good move for the team?
Yeah, it makes sense. They need to get back to reasserting who they are. They've looked rough for the last couple of years, can't finish games. They need to bring in a coach to actually get this team right of the ship. I didn't really think there was a bad option from the guys that we thought it would be between Harbaugh, Vrabel, even Belichick. I thought all would really fix the ship. It just, timeline-wise, depends what you're going in, team-building-wise. I think Harbaugh is more of the offensive guy of the three, so I think that kind of helped the decision with Herbert as the quarterback, and he's been able to turn around multiple teams and multiple programs. I think he does the same here. I don't know how fast or the ceiling of it, but they're going to be in the playoffs within the next 2 years, I'd say.
Yeah, they should have been over the last 2 years. Well, they were 2 years ago, and they lost to the Jaguars in historic fashion in the wild card round. So, we're going to get into everything. The state of the team is up first, and so this was an interesting team because you look at their Pro Football Focus grades, and you're like, oh, fine, that's an okay team. But 18th overall, and really the bad ones are run and run block. So Pro Football Focus, if you see the green on the screen and you're watching this on YouTube, the light green is really the lowest that run grades go, and they ranked 32nd, and they ranked 32nd in run blocking as well. It was constantly a problem. The inability to run the football was kind of why Justin Herbert was slinging the ball around all the time, and that's why he gets hurt and sacked all the time. And so Harbaugh is very much so coming in and changing that. We'll talk about how he's going to do that here in a second. But overall, Randy, what impressions of the team last year? I mean, obviously you said that they lost a lot of close games and Herbert was injured, so you have to take everything with a grain of salt. But do you think the infrastructure is there for this to be a good team quickly, or are we doing an overhaul today?
It's definitely a bit of both for me, because they're a very, at least last year, they're a very old roster. They were very win now, built for that. You got the young quarterback succeeding. You're doing everything you can to make it work. I like that kind of thinking. It just didn't work. The team building didn't work as well as they wanted. Austin Eckler this year underperformed. The big signings they've made in the past have underperformed. So it just hasn't worked out. But you can kind of get rid of some of the older pieces. You can sell off some of the older pieces, replenish, retool. And it's just a weird state of the team where you can't run the ball at all last year. And then your running back isn't doing good in the passing game either. Your quarterback's having to throw much more, so the receivers are getting hurt more. The line's getting more banged up in pass pro. It's just a whole bad situation, and I'm sure they're going to correct it, but we'll see to what extent.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, let's get right into it. Current cap space, negative $44 million, really about negative $45 million. And so as we get into a lot of these free agency moves and things like that, we are going to talk through our restructures and our trades, because they are required for the Chargers to field a roster this year. So Randy, why don't you talk about the key free agents that they've got right now?
Austin Eckler, like I said, he was big for them. Michael Davis, starting corner. Austin Johnson, starting D tackle. Jared Everett, starting tight end. Kenneth Murray, starting struggling linebacker. Cameron Dickers, restricted free agent, but he's been a good kicker. They need to bring him back. Even Easton Stick and Jalen Guyton, Will Clapp, as backups and high value backups, with all of them getting big reps this last year. And another huge one for them is Aloe Gilman, their safety, who was their best graded safety this year. I mean, he's better than Derwin for this team. He's not going to demand big money, but he's definitely one that they have to keep this defense rolling. And they're also free agent with Josh Kelly, so they're going to have a whole rehaul possibly of the running back room. This is going to be a different team.
It sure is. So we've talked about that. The key cut candidates is a really important piece of this one. So we've got Khalil Mack, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and Eric Kendricks as the headliners, as guys who could be potential cut candidates. Now, we are going to talk about some trades as well. That's a viable option. Some of this stuff can be, you know, restructured, and you might be able to keep them. But Khalil Mack, if you cut him, you save $23 million. Mike Williams, $20 million. Keenan Allen, $23 million. Those are the big three. And then you get to Eric Kendricks, $6.5 million. Morgan Fox, $3.5 million. Joey Bosa is more of a restructure candidate, I believe. You can clear about $10 million with him. And then Corey Linsley, retiring, that clears about $9 million. So we're kind of going to approach it as we have to do some of these things because the Chargers do as well. Randy, how did you approach the restructures, cuts, things like that?
Yeah, so for cuts, I cut Mike Williams, Eric Kendricks, Corey Linsley's, you know, cut debatable. Restructured Bosa, if you do cut or trade Bosa, you do save $22 million. But the restructure, just a base one, is a little over $10 million. I think that makes more sense, especially if you're moving on from Khalil Mack, which I also did. I traded Khalil Mack and their fifth round pick this year, pick 142 for the Lions 73rd pick, in the third round. I mean, that's clearing off a lot of money and bringing my cap space to, well, the effective cap space to $23.2 million. And we're going to use it.
Yes, we are. I kind of had a similar mindset here. I traded Khalil Mack to the Cardinals for a 2025 third. And Randy made a good point. He said, why would the Cardinals do this? You know, looking at Khalil Mack last year, it's not hard to imagine that he could get another decent deal because he was playing at arguably one of the top years of his game last year. And so I think you might look at it as more of a long-term investment than you would with most players who are his age. Cardinals gave up a 2025 third for that. And then Mike Williams is another one that I traded to the Carolina Panthers for a 2026 fourth, obviously coming off the big injury, but the Panthers now with the hiring of who did they hire today? Dave Canales. Dave Canales is going to want his Mike Evans type of player, a bigger X type receiver. Mike Williams fits that mold really well, and the Carolina Panthers can't risk a huge wide receiver run in the first round and hope that one of those guys gets to 33. So traded those two players, restructured Joey Bosa. I also restructured Justin Herbert because while he did just get that big deal, we constantly see this with quarterbacks where there are built-in avenues so that they can clear cap and kind of move forward. Then I also restructured Derwin James, but it wasn't one of those where I was happy about it. You know, I thought about even just cutting him, but it wasn't enough on the cap for me to do that. So I just restructured and cleared a little bit. And then Corey Linsley, like we talked about. So my cap space after all of those moves is about $31 million, 30.988 for me to use. And we definitely used it quite differently. Randy, how did you approach free agency for this team?
I went with a very, let's bring a lot of the helpful pieces from last year back to get us some good depth going into the draft. These are cheap veterans that we're not worried about trying to save money to sign veterans. I believe when I counted these players and the draft picks, we were almost to 60 players with what they have in their current cap. So that gives you space to get rid of some of the roster fodder that's on their team right now on the books. But I tendered Cameron Dicker and Foster Sorrell, so you get your starting kicker back and your backup left tackle. Brought back Aloe Gilman, 3-year, $2.75 million per. That's the going rate between looking at everything we're seeing from all the three or four sites and trying to pick the best, highest to go, because this is also, I think he would give a bit of a hometown discount, but this is a guy that's going to try and capitalize on his good play. So I think his valuation was about 2.5-ish, so I wanted to give him a bit of a pay rise to stay. Austin Johnson back on a $2.5 million deal for this year. Will Clapp back on a basically veteran minimum. He was a starting center before he got hurt. He could play center and guard. That's much-needed versatility for this team. Guyton on a cheap deal, 1-year, $1.1 million to be just another depth receiver. He's been good at times. Easton Stick on a 1.25 base deal with a $500K bonus to get a little bit of a pay rise from what they brought him back this last year at $1.6 million, about $1.7 million this year. Played a little bit of meaningful snaps down the stretch and played decent. Think he's a high-value backup. You signed him this year. You don't have to worry about looking for that position for a year at least. Just a backup, obviously. And that was my last re-sign, and then I went a little bit spending crazy. Coleman Shelton, 3 years, $16.5 million. That's a roughly about $5.5 million per, but I did backload this one to adjust and get us some much-needed value this year. He's a guard and center. Again, we need the versatility. I think he'll be their starting center this year unless they can find one they'd like in the draft. Raekwon Davis, 2 years, $3.5 million per, starting nose tackle for you now, just because you kind of have to. You don't really have anyone else, and unless you're changing the defense, which one of us might have and one of us didn't, it's a needed position for you. This is a cheap deal for a veteran, and you can get some upside players late in the draft to try and fill this position for the future. Devin Singletary, 3 years, $4.5 million per, to take him away from Houston. He has been a good back in the league. This is more of a breakout year than he's had, but he'll be a consistent option for them, and they haven't had that this last year, and he's going to be a lot cheaper than Austin Eckler. Caleb on Chase on, 2 years, $3 million per. Upside chance at an edge rusher that hasn't worked out. You need edge depth with getting rid of Khalil Mack and possibly getting rid of Bosa next year or the deadline, getting an upside shot to see what you can get from a guy and lessen the blow of what you need in the draft at the edge rusher position there. And bringing back Drew Tranquil, a linebacker they should not have let walk out of the door, go to the Chiefs, 2 years, $3.5 million. He's played great when he's been on the field. He's a rotational player for them. He can come in and be a starter for the Chargers.
That's a lot of moves, man. And then you ended up with about $3 million, right?
Yep. So if you still need to do something, you can, but $3 million, you're not going to get a lot.
That's fair. All right. I like what you did. I had a vastly different approach on both sides of like free agency and the draft. We kind of attacked different areas of the team because, to be quite honest, this team, it was old. And I think you can argue that it wasn't very good. And how much of that was Brandon Staley's doing and how much of that was the coaching? You know, I do put some stock into that, but I also think that this team kind of does need overhauled. And so I went with, go ahead.
As you say, and the big thing focus for both of us is you have a 26-year-old superstar quarterback. We're not focusing on tanking and wasting a year of that contract and that quarterback's lifespan in this league. Right. We're going to try and compete with this with this coach, with this new front office, with this vision. We're trying to compete every year. Yeah. Are we going to be better in 3 years? I think, but you got to try and put a product out there that can make the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, this is more of a retool than a rebuild. And I think that when you have the quarterback, it's always a retool. It's just the success hasn't yet come for that quarterback. So at least from a team wins perspective and things like that, QB wins, baby. All right. Free agents for me, Josh Reynolds, 3 years, $3.5 million per, backloaded it though. So it's like a pretty light cap hit this first year. And then you ramp it up in the following 2 years. Josh Reynolds has been fantastic for the Lions this year. I think his valuation was somewhere around like 2.5 everywhere I was looking. I actually could see him getting a larger deal than a 3.5, but because of the valuations that I was seeing, I figured that was, you know, okay to do. Feel free to yell at me, cap specialists, in the YouTube comments though. But this is an option where you're unsure if Quentin Johnston is is going to be good enough. You lost Mike Williams and Keenan Allen is getting older. You can build something with a good blocking wide receiver that can be a chain mover as well. Mekhi Becton, 1 year, $5 million average per year. Give him a little bit of a bonus as well, but you want to kind of test the waters with a guy who also hasn't really worked out in New York. We talked about the run blocking grade and how bad that was. That is his specialty, is getting upfield, being nasty. One of the things that I was looking for with my players is nasty, because that's what Harbaugh is going to be looking for. The big signing, Christian Wilkins, 5 years, 18.7 per, but only $8.9 million against the cap in 2024. So this would be like a big signing bonus to start, where you're not really hitting the cap as hard, and then you roll into like $25 million, $27 million. It sounds like a lot, but Christian Wilkins is one of probably the highly coveted defensive tackles in free agency this year. So while it sounds crazy to go out and make a huge signing like this, it's what teams tend to do even after clearing cap.
And it's not just for on the field. He is a great culture guy, and that's what Harbaugh is going to be focusing on this first year, as well as trying to get the on-the-field product back to what it should be. He needs this kind of veteran leadership in the locker room.
Yeah, and with the stuff going on in Miami with Vic Fangio, and I don't know what's actually going on behind the scenes there, I wouldn't be shocked if Wilkins got out of that building, to be quite honest. So, and then just some fillers, because I wasn't super happy with what my team looked like after I did the draft, so I went back and I was like, we'll hit free agency a little harder. Akeem Davis Gaither, 1 year, $1.5 million per, had a good year in 2022, good-ish. Wasn't as good this year, didn't really play all that much, played a lot of special team snaps, but an upside guy, a guy that had upside coming into the league. He's a free agent. Let's go try that. Keyshawn Nixon has been good for the Packers this year. 3 years, 1.9 average per. I've seen some different valuations of him. He might get a little more. He's a corner, but I do think that this is a guy that they would covet. And then Austin Hooper, we're not bringing back Gerald Everett. We're priced out of Gerald Everett. So we go get Austin Hooper for about $2 million because he's not very good, but at least he's a guy who will be willing to block and kind of complement Donald Parham and Stone Smart. I actually think that that's a fine tight end room, if not good. I think it's passable, which is where I wanted to go with that.
Yeah, he's definitely a baseline veteran you'd bring in. I think their ideal guys would be like Noah Fant, maybe a reuniting with Hunter Henry, who was Herbert's favorite target before he left. He's not gonna be $2 million, but I don't think he's gonna be $8 million. Like Everett, his valuation is almost $10 million. I don't see how they do that and get anyone else of value, truly. Like,
yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention, I didn't put it on the graphic because I didn't want the Chargers fans to hate me. I re-signed Austin Eckler. So that's the last move that I made here. I re-signed Austin Eckler, 2 years, $9.5 million per. Sounds like a lot. It is a lot for what he did this last year. But I think you can add some void years onto that. You cannot guarantee any of that in year two, and you say, okay, you can come back, you can test the waters. I think Austin Eckler is kind of like the Donovan Edwards type and also a good culture guy. He had been until last year. The people who he was beefing with are now gone. And so I think they can maybe convince him to stay. That is a bit of a discount for a good running back that's had a great career. So 2 years, $9.5 million per. But we'll see. We're not going to...
Products on the field last year, I'm not sure if it's that much of an undersell.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, probably an overpay, but based on what he did last year. But if you factor in everything and being good to your hometown guys that you kind of grew through your system, I think I think it's a feasible thing. And I also think he bounces back with good coaching, better offensive line, things like that. So yeah. I brought Austin Eckler back.
I will say, I do love the Mekhi Becton. It was tough for me. I was trying to find that kind of guy. He was a bit more of a, boomer bust that I was looking for, but they gave Trey Pipkins a bit of money and he's underperformed, and you can restructure him and save like $2 million. It doesn't seem worth it. I'd rather have his contract be cuttable after the season. I think if you can't, like I said, we got to try and put a product out that can win games. The issue is there's a lot of holes on this team, and we can't hit them all truly to actually make them fully fleshed out. We can hit a bit here and there, but we can't fully flesh out all of it.
Yes. All right, we're about to get into the draft portion, the mock draft portion of this. But before that, I do want to tell you guys about Notion. Notion is a single space where you can think, write, and plan, capture thoughts, manage projects, or even run an entire company and do it exactly the way you want. Notion's mission is to make tool making ubiquitous and believes that if every person and business can tailor software to their problems, the world as a whole will be better at solving problems. With project templates to help you get started, easy to use editing tools, and highly customizable pages, Notion is the best way to manage your projects. By clicking our affiliate link and signing up for a paid plan, you are supporting the Devi Royale. Make sure you click the link in the description or head to affiliate.notion.so/Devi Royale to purchase a paid plan today. We also quickly want to tell you about our Patreon. So things are always happening in the Patreon. The Discord is really active during NFL draft time. We got the idea to do the Chargers based on patron votes, and so it's a really good value. $5 a month, we have Devi and Dynasty combined rankings in there. We have Start Sit Help during the season. We have transfer portal news, NFL draft talk. As I said, we have everything to fit your fantasy football, college football, and really NFL needs. Join the community today at patreon.com/TheDeviRoyale. All right, let's do a mock draft. Randy, you're up first. Ready to go.
As always. So I went with a bit of what we did on our mock draft show this last week. I truly think, obviously, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there, you're taking him. I'm assuming he will never be there at five. So no. Now we're up to, it's either Malik Nabers or Brock Bowers. I think there's a almost guaranteed chance Brock Bowers is there. There's not a guaranteed chance Malik Nabers is there. So, because of that, I went with Brock Bowers here, and we'll try and figure out something at wide receiver. It might be something we attack harder next year, but Brock Bowers gives you some receiver help with also giving you a true tight end of the future and, you know, really trying to ease the load for Keenan Allen. Because while he clearly can handle it, and he even ramped up this year, it felt like we need to start taking away from that. We need to get a new favorite target for Herbert. While we're getting rid of one on the outside, we're bringing one on the inside and outside with Brock Bowers here. One of the best weapons in this class, no doubt. And in this kind of offense with this kind of quarterback, should be a top fantasy tight end and a top real-life tight end. Yep. Second round, we desperately need corner help on the outside especially, but corner depth in general. TJ Tampa, corner from Iowa State. Just a good corner that it's hard to pick which one you're going to take at the back of the, at the start of the second here, because from 15 to 30, we might get a bunch. So I want the guy that was consistently there for me. I like the tape. I like what he could bring to complement this team. And he should be a good starter day one for this team with Asante Samuel on the opposite side. And we'll figure out the slot. I mean, we have a guy that played all the snaps, but not greatly. But again, can't fix everything in one shot. Third round pick, Kingsley. We literally have a pronunciation for it. I forget.
Ramataia.
Thank you.
Ramataia. Yep.
Yes, there we go. offensive tackle / offensive line for BYU. I do think he's going to be competing with Pipkins day one to be the right tackle. And worst case, between him, Pipkins, and Salyer, we're going to get two people on the right side that are going to do their best. We're going to keep Herbert up. We're going to try to run the ball a bit more. I think he's a very he should be a tackle of the future for this team, and a cheap one at that. And it's just something they desperately need. And I truly am focusing on the offense because the defense has been disappointing for years. So hopefully they play better this year. But if not, we need to be the Dolphins and put up 30 points a game just to be able to compete with the teams in this division that could be getting a lot better next year, which is scary to say with the Chiefs. So I went with some trusted sources in the next picks with the pick that we traded up to get with Khalil Mack. At 73, I picked Roman Wilson. There's, you know, Washington receivers there. There's some, you know, Florida receivers that we're going to talk about a lot more. But I feel like there's a chance, especially with Senior Bowl coming up and more hype that they're going to go a bit above this pick, where Roman Wilson, I think, will be there. And he was a trusted weapon for this offense and a real chain mover, as well as a big play guy for him. I think Harbaugh, at this pick, would love to just take him. I think he could go offensive line, but because I went there last time, I'm going with a weapon he trusts. And the same thing in the fourth. I did bargain with Christian to get this pick in the show because I like Isaiah Spiller. I kind of like Jared Patterson for what he is. Elijah Dotson, I don't care about. So, but we haven't heard anything about Spiller being decent. I want a bruiser running back that I can use at the goal line to complement Devin Singletary. And there's not really a lot better in this class than Blake Corum, and definitely not in Harbaugh's eyes. Another culture guy for them. And I'm just loving that backfield because it's a true just 1-2 punch combo that I think both can thrive. And Corum has some deficits in his game going to the next level, at least early on in his career, in my opinion. And Singletary can mask those, and then together should be better than what you've gotten from Eckler this last year. I can't say in the past of Eckler, but at least this last year it will be better.
Yeah. I think we're both of the mindset that he will draft Michigan players at some point. I mean, there will be a GM there making the pick. But I've thought about trolling and trading Herbert, drafting McCarthy with the first pick, Corum with the second pick. I think Roman Wilson would have been the third. Cornelius Johnson would have been somewhere in there. AJ Barner, one of the defensive players. We could have gotten a little crazy. Oh, Mike Sainristil is probably. Actually, I thought about making the 37th pick Mike Sainristil because it feels like that's a Harbaugh pick as well. But no, I really like what you did with your draft. Like I said, we took vastly different approaches and where we attacked the needs of this football team. So on the flip side here, so I traded back. I believe in the most of the mocks that I was doing, and we were running through a simulator, Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers were going. And to me, 5 is really high for a tight end, even as good as Brock Bowers. I love Brock Bowers' film. He's probably, I haven't double checked it, but I'm pretty sure he's my highest graded tight end in the 5 years that we've had this grading scale. That said, 5 is still rich for me. So I just was like, you know what? I'm going to sign Austin Hooper. It sounds so fun. I'm going to sign Austin Hooper and not draft Brock Bowers. But I'm going to move back. And I traded the 105 to Minnesota for the 111, the 42nd pick, and a 2025 second round pick. So you acquire some assets here. Move back, take Jared Verse, the edge rusher out of Florida State. We were texting through this. They love Tuli Pelotu. They love Joey Bosa. They love Khalil Mack. One of those guys is gone, and the other one doesn't stay on the field. And so they need some edge depth, and they need to start looking to the future because Joey Bosa's contract does end after 2025. And so Jared Verse, powerful, nasty player, like I mentioned, one of those guys that I feel like Harbaugh's going to love. And so I rolled with him at the 111. 37, Kalen King, the corner out of Penn State, might be a little rich. And, you know, if I were doing this again, now that I thought of Mike Sanders still, I think I'd probably sub it out. It's on the graphic, though, so I have to roll with Kalen King. Fluid athlete, really good mover. I think he has good ball skills. Probably a little too skinny, but I do think that he's got the ability to play inside and outside if they need him to. And like you just talked about, they need a corner. And so us both going corner with that first second round pick is pretty on brand. I feel like that's normal for mocks.
It was definitely tempting not to take like three corners. Like they need corner depth, and corners aren't cheap. Badly. So
yeah, badly. With the 42nd pick, I know people don't like drafting linebackers, but Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker out of Texas A&M, he's currently my linebacker one. Explosive player, really, really nice ability to kind of fill gaps, tackle, good tackler. They need someone like this, and Harbaugh defenses in general have guys like this. They don't currently have guys like this on the roster. I think they were hoping that Kenneth Murray was going to be that. Neither of us brought him back because he's been such a disappointment. And so you have to go refill the linebacker position a little bit. I went with Edgerrin Cooper here. Pick 69. I took Isaiah Davis, the running back out of South Dakota State. I am of the belief that Blake Corum might be gone. but he also might still be there at 105. I have no idea how to value Blake Corum right now. In my mock, he was gone. I took Isaiah Davis. Similar kind of style to Blake Corum. Super elusive. It's tough to judge. He played us out to go to State, but one of my favorite running backs in this class. I believe he's a top six running back for me right now. So a guy that I think Chargers fans want. And I think that this would be one of those where Eckler's kind of at the tail end of his career. You get a running back that can play similar to him. And then with my fourth round pick, since Randy wanted to get Corum in there, I took Cedric Van Pran, the center out of Georgia. This is a guy probably is gone by this pick, but you know, a lot of the mock draft simulators haven't gotten there yet. I think he might get a Senior Bowl boost. Check back tomorrow. We'll talk about that. But Van Pran would come in and be your starting center day one in my scenario. So that vastly different approaches. I think as we go through our updated depth charts, you'll see that both teams could be successful. Randy, what did you think about my side of the draft? And then if you want to go through your depth chart.
I love Jared Verse. Obviously, in my opinion, a guy in the same mold as Aiden Hutchinson. So we know very clearly that Harbaugh is going to love him. I love his work ethic and what he can do on the field. Honestly, picking any of these corners at 37, I think you're good. It's just depending on how they're going to fit. Like I said, I was stuck between like six and a few of them, like Kenyon Mitchell, that I'm like, isn't going to be there in my opinion. And others that are going to, so you're sitting there with like Lassiter, King, Tampa, and a few others. And you're just like, okay, well, pick your poison right here. I'm fine, especially this class. No linebackers in the first round. Second round, it is a slightly bit rich for my blood, but we know if it is a limited pool of the players, we're going to be pushed up with the guys that the teams really like. And really, Henley is their only linebacker that I like in the room that you were bringing back. So, yeah. I mean, Kendricks is whatever, but Henley stepped up this year. They're hoping he steps up even more this next year. So, I mean, you got a guy for the future where I brought in Drew Tranquil, who I think can help them win this year, maybe. Yeah. You know, you got a guy that's probably better than Drew Tranquil. And then the reason I spent money on a center is because I'm not confident in the ability of like the late day two, early day three guys to start for me in this class. I think they all could, at least like the ones we're thinking of. And I keep saying, JPJ there in the second round at 37. And I just, it's the same thing as last year with John Michael Schmitz, where he ended up being there, but I was like, nah, I can't do it. He's going at like 24, 25. It's just
maybe earlier, man.
It's just the top tier center that I truly believe is a good talent. It's the same with Linderbaum. He's not going to be there in the second. He's not going to be in the second. He didn't end up being there in the second, but it was close. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. We're all in the same thing and back to back to back to back years. It feels like it's center. So I just couldn't trust the process of the board for that one. But I like, honestly, I'd rather have the way you did it. I have to buy a center this year, unfortunately, if I need one, because there are a few available and few from teams in your actual division that you could snipe from. So yeah, smart.
For sure. All right. Run through your updated depth chart and see what the team looks like.
We're bringing the gang back together. Justin Herbert, Ethan Stick, Max Duggan at quarterback, Devin Singletary, Blake Corum, and Isaiah Spiller at running back. A few others that are probably be cut. Quentin Johnson and Roman Wilson as my left receiver, Josh Palmer, Jalen Guyton, and Sammy Fajoko at my right, and Keenan Allen and Darius Davis in the slot. Obviously, a few of those guys can go inside and out, but we just need some depth here. But really, you have five receivers I think you trust to be on the field at different times with your studying Keenan Allen, and then hopefully Quentin Johnson can take a step forward. Slater, Johnston, Zion Johnson, Coleman Shelton, Jameer Saylor, and Trey Pipkins as your starters, and we'll see if Will Clapp and Kingsley Suamotia can take over those spots. I think they can. Brock Bowers at tight end with Donald Parham backing him up. Parham's just as athletic and good as Everett. He just can't stay healthy, and we haven't seen the true growth from him. We bring in Brock Bowers, who could be an outside receiver for you, and that's why I'm comfortable taking him in the top 10, because I don't view Brock Bowers as a tight end. I view him as a guy that lines up. I know you don't either, but I'm just saying it's not the same thing as Kyle Pitts, where we both were comfortable taking him there. But Brock Bowers actually is a good blocking tight end. So
great,
a little elite bit different
one.
Might yeah. Morgan Fox returning as your edge rusher, your starter. Raekwon Davis and Austin Johnson in your interior D line. Joey Bosa, Tulu Tuiloupo, and Kalavon Chaisson as your edge rushers, with Henley and Drew Tranquil in your linebacking core as well. TJ Tampa, Asante Samuel Jr., and Jasir Taylor as your corners. We need so much more depth. Aloe Gilman and Derwin James return as your safeties, because as a duo, they worked well together. Hopefully Derwin can step up this year, though.
Yeah. All right, good stuff my side. Herbert and Duggan are my two quarterbacks. I didn't bring back Stick. Austin Eckler, Isaiah Davis. Isaiah Spiller, Elijah Dotson is my four running backs. I do anticipate that by the end of the season, Isaiah Davis would be your starter in that scenario. So worth noting that even though I gave the money, I would want Isaiah Davis to be my starter by the end. Josh Reynolds, Darius Davis as my left wide receiver, Josh Palmer and Simi Fioko as my right wide receivers, and then Keenan Allen and Quentin Johnston as my slot wide receivers. So I went a little different with the depth chart there, because I do think that the best way to utilize Quentin Johnston as he continues to develop will be as a slot wide receiver, in that same Keenan Allen mold even. Left tackle Rashawn Slater, guard Zion Johnson, Cedric Van Pran at center, Jamari Sawyer at right guard, and then Mekhi Becton over at right tackle battling with Trey Pipkins. I think there's a chance that Pipkins could win that job. Unfortunately, that's just kind of where the line ended up landing. Tight end Austin Hooper, Donald Parham, and Stone Smart, like I mentioned earlier. I did flip the defense into a 4-3. We're abandoning the 3-4. I don't love the 3-4 defense personally, and I don't know that this team can't transition. So, which is why I went and got an edge rusher and Jared Verse and Tuipulotu to be my two starters. Well, kind of, because Joey Bosa is always hurt. Joey Bosa would be the other starter with Morgan Fox, Chris Rumpf kind of rotating in. I think you've got a good, solid defensive line rotation, which is a Harbaugh staple. My two defensive tackles, Christian Wilkins and Otito Obonia. I think you're pretty okay with that. The depth there is really, really bad, though, behind those two guys. So worth noting, you might want to kick some of our edge rushers inside on passing downs. So we're going to get crafty on defense. My linebacker crew is Dan Henley, Edgerrin Cooper, and then Eric Kendricks, with Akeem Davis-Gaither being your kind of rotational guy, with Nick Neiman still there as well. Corners would be Kalen King, Asante Samuel, and Jasir Taylor, with Keyshawn Nixon being that rotational guy. And then free safety, JT Wood, strong safety, Derwin James. Okay, team. I will be honest, this is relying on Herbert being what we know Herbert can be, but staying healthy behind hopefully a better offensive line. That's kind of the notion, that we can go pack the defense with studs and just hope that Josh Reynolds is the key to the offense, and maybe Isaiah Davis opening some stuff up as well.
Yeah, we both took different shots at it. You can do the 50-50 where you can truly spend the same amount of capital and cash on offense and defense and go for a balanced attack for the next 3 years, or you can attack one side and you attack defense more, I attack offense more. We'll see which way is better. We'll see which way they actually do. But they got to do one of them, in my opinion. I wish, honestly, if their cornerbacks had more depth, I would have taken a receiver at 237 instead of a corner. Just play them simple to further attack this offense, because, like I said, I truly think we need to capitalize fully behind Herbert. Not that you didn't, because you did it like how you just said. Herbert needs to step up, and we think he could be better. He can amplify this offense, even if it's growing. We'll add more weapons next year. We'll round out the defense a little bit more, too, through free agency. We'll have everything figured out. And mine, it's we're fixing the offense this year for the most part. We'll probably add another receiver next year, maybe another lineman, but we're attacking defense next year.
And for what it's worth, I think Quentin Johnston still could take a step forward. And so I don't think, like, your five wide receivers that you're rolling with Darius Davis being kind of like your Gadget is the word I'm looking for. Gadget guy. I think you're pretty comfortable with that as long as Josh Palmer stays healthy, as long as Keenan Allen stays healthy. And those are the big questions with this team. A lot of them cannot stay healthy. So maybe Harbaugh's practices will keep them healthy down the stretch. So that'll do it for this Franchise Fix of the Los Angeles Chargers. We do this every Friday. So join the Patreon. We're going to have another vote to see what teams we do next. I think the Panthers would be a fun one, but we're going to let the patrons decide. And then we're going to post it here on YouTube. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe. Leave a comment. If you're a Chargers fan and you're finding this video, let us know where we went wrong. I know my method was very non-traditional. So hopefully you watched through the whole video and kind of saw my reasoning for things. Randy, anything to add before we get out of here?
I can't wait to the next one. I was not expecting to do the Chargers. I can tell you that right now. But it was fun. I was like trying to clear everything and figure it out and not going too far, giving some flexibility for the future. So that was fun. But yeah, I was definitely expecting like a Panthers or a Cardinals. And I was like, oh, no, or Patriots. And I was just, no, take the Chargers. Good luck. All right. We'll figure it out.
We'll be back with a ton of videos next week. Make sure you subscribe to the channel so you never miss Kevin's dynasty videos at the beginning of the week. He does mock drafts, he does buys and sells and trades, and he's killing it. And then we come back at the back end of the week and we hit you guys with some NFL draft stuff. So stay tuned to the channel. Thank you guys for watching. We'll catch you guys next time.